Thank you, Jonga Kandemiri. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Tuesday, December 9, 2014. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Sithandekile Mhlanga.
Here are our top stories this evening.
President Robert Mugabe fires Vice President Joyce Mujuru and seven cabinet ministers, said to be the former deputy president's allies who allegedly worked with her in a plot to overthrow him.
I am not a fighting character. My background, I'm a trained person. When you receive an order from your senior, you carry it out right through.
Zimbabweans mark International Anti-Corruption Day, urging the government and ordinary people to work together in routing corruption out of the society.
What is currently obtaining is not reflective of what we expect to see. The government should do more so as to invest and increase the trust and confidence of citizens.
And more than 100 workers at Mavo Stationery in Bulawayo say they have nothing to celebrate as Christmas fast approaches, as they have not been paid for the past 23 months.
President Robert Mugabe has fired Vice President Joyce Mujuru and at least seven cabinet ministers and one deputy, all said to be the former deputy president's allies who were allegedly working with her in a plot to overthrow the president. The move comes hard on the heels of ZANU-PF's National Congress, where Mr. Mugabe was given a fresh mandate in a motion moved by Justice Minister Emmerson Mnangagwa and seconded by former ZANU-PF Women's League boss Opam Chinguri. Mrs. Mujuru, once seen as a possible successor of the aging President Mugabe, told Studio 7 that she has complied with Mr. Mugabe's request that she steps down.
She denied accusations that she was plotting to oust the president from office, adding she will remain a loyal member of the ruling ZANU-PF party. Today's development follows accusations from First Lady Grace Mugabe that Mrs. Mujuru was unfit to lead the country, that she was corrupt and plotting to assassinate her husband, among other ills. Mrs. Mugabe is now the party's new boss of the ZANU-PF's women's wing. Mr. Mugabe this week was re-elected to another five-year term as party leader. Mrs. Mujuru spoke exclusively with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu about her fate and related issues.
Very true. I received it last night at 9:31 p.m.
What were the contents?
That I was no longer the vice president of Zimbabwe with immediate effect, full stop. And he quoted section 106, 1B, which I tried to check in the constitution and I didn't get it. There's only section 1. Maybe he wanted to say section 2B.
And what did he say you did?
In fact, he was saying you were doing things that were not supposed to be done by yourself, which include, maybe if you can give me a second so that I can say what it says. This I'm now reading from 2B of the Constitution because there is no 1B. It says, conduct of vice president, ministers or deputy ministers, act in any way that is inconsistent with their office, or expose themselves to any situation involving the risk of a conflict between their official responsibilities and private interests. And those are the things, if I am given a chance to meet our committee in the party, those are the things that they should ask me to explain, if they have them, that I have been doing.
Have you accepted the order by the president to step down?
I am not a fighting character. My background, I'm a trained person. When you receive an order from your senior, you carry it out right through. If you have anything to question about that order, you find your way of questioning it. I signed for that letter. This morning, I even wrote a letter of acknowledgement and even thanking him for his immense contribution in my life. And that's how we were taught in Zanla. That's how We were brought up in ZANU PF.
What about your position in the party? Are you going to remain a member of ZANU PF or you are considering opting out?
I am, mind you, I don't know any other party other than ZANU PF. And that's my party. And I will die in ZANU PF.
Do you feel safe in Zimbabwe, judging from the attacks that we have seen and some party youths threatening you and your families?
Zimbabwe is my country. And mind you, whatever has been going on, I had not been able to give my side of story to the people. And only today I managed to release my second statement to the papers, trying to give a bit of the narration of the other side of story. So being an elite nation, people are reading and beginning to see which is which. So with time, people will begin to see what really went wrong.
That was former Deputy President Joyce Mujuru speaking with Studio 7 reporter Blessing Zulu from Harare.
Also fired today with Mrs. Mujuru are seven ministers and one deputy who have been accused of incompetency. Thomas Chiripasi has more details from Harare.
The ministers who were relieved of their duties are Information and Communication Technologies Minister Webster Shamu, Higher Education Minister Olivia Muchena, Energy Minister Dzikamai Mavaire, his deputy Mnacho Mutezo, Presidential Affairs Minister Didmas Mutasa, Youth Minister Francis Nema, Labour Minister Nicholas Goche, and Mashonaland and East Provincial Affairs Minister Simbaneuta Mudarikwa. In a statement released by the Chief Secretary to the President and Cabinet, Meshack Sibanda, a copy of which is in Studio 7's possession, Mr. Mugabe used Section 108, Subsection 1, Part A of the new Constitution to dismiss the ministers, saying their conduct and performance was below his expected standards. One of the sacked ministers, Dzikamai Mavaire, was cheeky when contacted for comment, but later thanked Mr. Mugabe for affording him an opportunity to serve in his cabinet. This is not the first time that Mavaire has fallen out of favor with Mr. Mugabe. In 1998, he was fired from the ruling party and government when he called for the president to resign due to his advanced age.
I would like to thank His Excellency for affording me an opportunity to be a cabinet minister. And I appreciate that indeed I'm happy he gave me an opportunity to be a minister. And the right time, according to him, he moved, he had released me from the post. And I thank him for that. That is what you are not coming for. I personally thank him.
Meanwhile, political analyst George Makoni, who is also the program's officer of the Center for Community Development in Zimbabwe, said ZANU-PF bigwigs are playing what he called a cat-and-mouse game.
I think it is just confirming the voices of alternative views, which were saying ZANU-PF is corrupt, it is a murderous party, because the charges really telling with that, in the sense that if you look particularly at Mai Mujuru, they are raising issues to do with planning to assassinate the president and allegations of corruption, issues which were mainly being said by the alternative voices. So they've just confirmed that in ZANU-PF it was there. But I just feel that maybe they've just reduced the number of perpetrators of those, but still ZANU-PF remains such a party.
Former president of the Zimbabwe National Students Union, Pride Mukono, told Studio 7 that the firing of Mujuru and the ministers who are allegedly perceived to be siding with him shows that Mr. Mugabe will now decide on his succession without the involvement of other players like Mrs. Mujuru.
I think, firstly, this has been a long time coming. I think it has been clear since the entry of Grace Mugabe into politics that move was what would be the last trump card for Robert Mugabe and the other faction within ZANU-PF. But what now means is that it's clear that the succession matrix has remained wide open, because Robert Mugabe is keeping everyone guessing on who will take over. And I would still say that the factions in ZANU-PF are going to deepen after the paging of the Mujuru faction, because now it's no longer clear who is going to assume power.
Political analyst and veteran journalist Sidney Masamvu says ZANU-PF is now more divided than ever following Mujuru's sacking, but did not rule her out of the country's political equation.
This is the beginning of a long battle of succession to come. As these people, we are going to see a coalition of the wounded, which is going to come through, which will live to fight the current status quo. And ultimately, the current team can occupy the VP's post, but ultimately no one is guaranteed the presidency is in the bag.
Prior to the ZANU-PF Congress, that ended at the weekend and was boycotted by the former vice president, Mrs. Mujuru was accused of plotting to assassinate Mr. Mugabe, corruption, incompetence, and working with Zimbabwe's so-called detractors in the West. But the former vice president issued a statement yesterday distancing herself from the accusations, adding that she remained loyal to Mr. Mugabe. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
In his letter to Mrs. Mujuru, which was delivered last night, Mr. Mugabe used Section 106 of 1B of the Constitution to fire her. Section 1B apparently does not exist in the Constitution. We contacted constitutional lawyer Lovemore Madugu on the implications, if any.
Very disturbing. The president for some time now has been acting on the basis of people that have very little capacity. He's no longer doing it himself, as you know. He's relying very much on many of his people. So it's quite clear that the people surrounding the president have very little appreciation of the constitutional framework. He would simply have used the schedule to the constitution, schedule 6, which is quite clear, which gives him so clear powers that he can hire and fire the vice president. So I think what they did there is that section you are referring to would have been applicable to ministers. So they may have been using the same letter to all these people, including vice president. The other reason is that they may have mistakenly thought that the easiest way is to treat Vice President Mujuru like any other minister. So they would then try and use Section 106.
Does it matter anyway that, you know, they used a wrong section in firing her?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I think constitutional powers are exercised not so much in terms of what section. What matters is that the president has the power to hire and fire his ministers. When he went all that way to actually court section, it was not relevant for legal purposes. The president could simply have told them, even simply orally or verbally, that would have been enough. So it would not matter that he has cited the wrong section at law.
The page that we have seen going on in ZANU-PF, what message does it send to other politicians, not only in ZANU-PF, but to other political parties in Zimbabwe? Because for the longest time, there are some people who have been ministers since 1980 up to now, where politicians in Zimbabwe have become or thought that being a politician is a permanent full-time job. What message do you think, if any, is being sent to all of these people?
It's a very good message going to all politicians. Political life is about serving the people. You are not going to be in politics for life. Any day can change. You are today in government, the next day you are not. So if you are Mayim Juru, today you are the Vice President of the Republic of Zimbabwe. The next day you are Juru, an ordinary Zimbabwean who is just now an MP. That is a very good message. We are not there to remain politicians forever. And so that is the good side of what is happening, that these things come to an end. People must always realize that there will be a day when they will be out of politics.
That was constitutional lawyer Lovemore Madugu on the line with us from Harare.
For analysis on the continuing purge in ZANU-PF, we turned to communications lecturer and political analyst Zenzele Ndebele to help dissect the issue.
Well, I think it was expected that at one point Robert Mugabe was going to fire Grace Mujuru and these ministers, because we know that he has been talking about this case that is coming. But I think he's making a suicidal move.
Do you see former Vice President Mujuru grouping together with her lieutenants to form a party?
ZANU-PF people have no habit of leaving the party. Even if when they are expelled, they will stick around. The only person who went against that norm was, of course, Simba Makoni. And we cannot say Dumitru Dabengwa was ZANU because he was ZAPU. Simba Makoni is the only person who left. And I'm certain that he regretted why he left, because after that, most of his members or the people that they promised to leave with him did not leave. Look at 2004. What is happening now is a repeat of 2004. We know again that the likes of Jabulani Sibanda at one point were fired from representative, but went back and is being fired for the second time now. And if you look at 2004, the people now who are in control, the Jonathan Moyos, the Patrick Chinamasas, the Emmerson Mnangagwas, the Mutendas, were the people who were being accused of the coup that in 2004, the Dinyane Declaration, and slowly they've come back and they fulfilled their Dinyane. So I don't see Joyce Mujuru going out of ZANU-PF. I see her going back, being content with being a simple member of ZANU-PF and an MP for ZANU-PF, and then trying to go back or to maneuver her way back into the system, because this is how these guys operate. Look at any other person who has fallen out of favor with ZANU-PF. Unless they are fired from ZANU-PF, they don't leave the party.
That was communications lecturer and political analyst Zenzele Ndebele speaking with us from Bulawayo.
The long-speculated expulsion of Vice President Joyce Mujuru by President Robert Mugabe didn't take many by surprise, but many raised concern about the impact on the country's economy. Our reporter Ivan Chifera has more from Harare.
The news that Vice President Joyce Mujuru has been given a marching orders by the president has tongues wagging in all parts of the city. For many, the firing of Ms. Mujuru only raises larger questions about its significance in light of the country's bigger problems. Crisis in Zimbabwe Coalition spokesman Mufundo Mulilo says the infighting in ZANU-PF is simply a distraction from the government's key role of policymaking and delivering services, which men argue is already compromised.
These are people who are coming with a factional agenda, so it's going to be a continuation and a consolidation of power. So there is more will towards power retention, power consolidation, as opposed to a will towards transformation of society.
A Harare resident who declined to be named says Mujuru's firing will not help anything, as she is not the reason for the country's poor state.
I think it would have been good for the president to actually resign himself. It's more like if the wheels are not moving, it means the engine itself is the one that is the problem. So I believe he's the one who's supposed to resign.
Another resident, also refusing to be named, tells Studio 7 that Mujuru's sacking has revealed the First Lady's influence on the president.
Honestly, I don't think Mugabe would have done such a thing like to fire Ms. Mujuru, who has got so much grassroots appeal and has been a long time ally. But since the coming of Grace, we've seen that her intention was to have the vice president fired, and that is exactly what has happened today.
Senior Zimbabwean journalist Barnabas Tonkana, who has covered such developments within ZANU-PF for many years, agrees.
The economy is in tatters. There are no jobs. People are suffering. The youth have nothing to do. They are just walking up and down the streets. And whether Mujuru is fired, Nema is fired, or whoever is fired, that is not what we are looking for in this country. We really want development. We want this economy to move. We want this country to move forward.
Allegations that Ms. Mujuru was plotting to unlawfully remove Mugabe from office has not been bought by everyone. Blessing Vava among them says Mujuru's key fault was openly expressing an interest to succeed Mugabe, which he says shows a lack of understanding of ZANU-PF's ways.
He herself, being a product of undemocratic processes in 2004, surely she should have understood that power in ZANU-PF does not lie in the structures, but it lies in the president, that is President Robert Mugabe.
Caring with Vava, researcher Chenesani Ntungwaka says accusations of assassination plots have been going on since independence, forcing even the late founder of ZAPU, Joshua Ngomo, to flee the country in the 80s under similar circumstances.
Borrowing from President Mugabe's vocabulary of simplistic thinking, maybe she was just too simple to think ahead, but I really don't think Ms. Mujuru was after grabbing a powerful position in ZANU. For me, this is all intelligence work. Look, Ngomo left the country for self-imposed exile in England, and every Jack and Jill would have pounced on him and arrested him. This is not new to my country. It's not something really I can say it's news. That she wanted to overthrow President Mugabe, it doesn't work that way.
Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
Thank you very much, Ivan. Remember to tune in tomorrow for part two of Mrs. Joyce Mujuru's interview with Blessing Zulu, where she's going to be addressing accusations of corruption and allegations of an assassination on President Robert Mugabe.
And you start even practicing witchcraft, you start even thinking about killing somebody, even to assassinate a sitting president of state. It's unheard of. It's uncalled for. For what purpose? Just me, a poor widow. I can't do that.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Coming up,
Zimbabweans mark World Anti-Corruption Day.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
A South African judge will tomorrow rule on a prosecution request to appeal her verdict against Oscar Pistorius. Judge Thokozile Masipa heard arguments yesterday in the same Pretoria courtroom where in October she announced a manslaughter conviction and 5-year sentence for Pistorius for shooting his girlfriend Reeva Steenkamp.
U.S. diplomatic facilities and military installations overseas are under increased security today as the U.S. Senate prepares to release a long-awaited report detailing the CIA's interrogation methods since the September 11, 2001 attacks.
And the Ukrainian army and pro-Russian rebel forces are laying down their arms in an attempt to revive a September ceasefire. The sides have promised to suspend hostilities as part of today's so-called Day of Silence.
The Zero Tolerance Wise Consultancy today led Zimbabweans in marking the International Anti-Corruption Day, calling on the government, stakeholders and ordinary Zimbabweans to help curb corruption in the country. The day set by the United Nations to raise awareness, combat and prevent corruption was this year marked under the theme Break the Corruption Chain. Reporter Tatenda Kombo spoke with Zero Tolerance Wise Consultancy founder and director Dumisani Mtombeni, who says steps must be taken to curb corruption in the country.
We implored all stakeholders to support and complement our government efforts in the fight against corruption. Some people mistakenly think that the role or the duty to fight corruption is government's sole responsibility. No, it's wrong. It requires a shared and collective responsibility. We should see all relevant stakeholders from the citizens, the media, ICT experts, the youth, women, journalists, the private sector, civic society organizations, all coming together, speaking with one voice, supporting and complementing the efforts of the government, as well as supporting each other's efforts in denouncing corruption, in addressing corruption. We also ended up by imploring the government itself to do more, because we don't look at only one side. The government itself should do more in the fight against corruption. What is currently obtaining is not reflective of what we expect to see. The government should do more so as to invest and increase the trust and confidence of citizens.
That was Zero Tolerance Wise Consultancy founder and managing director Dumisani Mtombeni.
More than 100 workers at Mavo Stationery in Bulawayo say they have nothing to celebrate as Christmas fast approaches. They have not been paid for the past 23 months. The workers, who are owed between $5,000 and $23,000, say they have accrued a lot of debts, becoming miserable and destitute as a result. One of the affected Mavo Stationery workers, Mbonisi Gumbo, says the company was placed under judiciary management, but the judicial manager, a Mr. Crispin Mwete, is playing hide and seek with the poor workers. Gumbo says the company continues to produce, yet management is failing to settle their outstanding wages. Mavo Stationery is also said to have benefited more than $750,000 from the Distressed Marginalized Areas Fund meant to rescue struggling companies. Studio 7 failed to reach Mr. Mwete for a comment, but Gumbo tells reporter Jonga Kandemiri that the company is taking advantage of the government's failure to protect its workers.
We have
spent 23 months without pay, and you are not being paid for those 23 months. You have only been paid $360 for the past 2 years, and the company is not willing to pay us. We have tried all efforts. We have even gone to the High Court, and we have won the case, but still nothing has happened so far. And they actually brought the judicial manager, Mr. Christian, just to stop us from affecting the property which we had planned, which we have been allowed by the law to sell so that we recover our debt through the office of the deputy sheriff.
What initially happened for you to take the company to court?
We had realized that our employer is not staying here, because at first we had more than 5 agreements that we did between the workers' committee and the management. And all those agreements were not honored. So that is the reason why we had to try something else, which is to go to the court.
That was an affected worker at Mavo Stationery, Mbonisi Gumbo, in Bulawayo, with Studio 7 reporter Jonga Kandemiri.
The South African national netball team beat its Zimbabwean counterpart today by 32-40 at the ongoing African Union Sports Council Region 5 under-20 games in Bulawayo, while Zimbabwe's Betha Chikanga won the country a gold medal in athletics. For more on today's games, we spoke to sports commentator Muziwethu Hadebe.
In the tennis as well, the major highlight was Valeria Bunim. We managed to win her semi-final clash to make it to the final. She will be expected to do well in the tennis to get a gold. There were also two athletes who made it into the finals of the 800 meters in athletics, which are on tomorrow. In the football, in Group A, where the host Zimbabwe are housed, it was not a very good day for the Young Warriors, as they were held to a 1-1 draw by Angola at Babafield Stadium in a match which was played under heavy rain. In the same group as well, across town at Elveve Stadium, Malawi managed to beat Mozambique by 2-1, which means that Malawi has now played 2 games and are on 6 points, and they move top of the log ahead of the Young Warriors, who are on 5 points. Angola are on 4 points, and the Young Warriors now need to beat Malawi for them to qualify, because if they lose to Malawi and Angola win in their last match against Swaziland, it will mean that Angola and Malawi will go through, as Malawi seem to be doing well in this group. In the women's football, the Young Mighty Warriors still have a chance.
That was sports commentator Muziwethu Hadebe on the line with us from Bulawayo.
Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our host will discuss with experts and you, the listeners, about the firing of Mrs. Joyce Mujuru and the ongoing ZANU-PF purge.
To join the discussion, text us at 001202-465-0318 so we can call you back from our studios.
And now to recap today's top stories.
President Robert Mugabe fires Vice President Joyce Mujuru and 7 cabinet ministers say to be the former deputy president's allies who allegedly worked with her in a plot to overthrow him.
Zimbabweans mark International Anti-Corruption Day, urging the government and ordinary people to work together in routing corruption out of society.
And more than 100 workers at Mavo Stationery in Bulawayo say they have nothing to celebrate as Christmas fast approaches, as they have not been paid for the past 23 months.
That's our broadcast this evening.
Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Sithandekile Mhlanga in Washington.
And I'm Chris Gande, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.